An announcement from Tesla in the I'll believe it when I see it category. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Tesla has just announced a few software updates it's planning for its electric cars, including one where the car tracks its distance from charging stations to try to reduce the anxiety about running out of juice. And then rather casually during the news conference, CEO Elon Musk said that his company would soon release another update, a type of autopilot, to its Model S fleet as soon as June. Autopilot, as in the car drives itself. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has been investigating this. Tracy, does this mean a driverless Tesla could be on the roads this summer?
Musk said that cars could be technically capable of getting from place to place without a driver having to do anything.
Technically.
But for now, this autopilot feature would only be activated on highways. It wouldn't be safe in neighborhoods given all the obstacles and variables. He said in the future, though, drivers could summon their cars or the cars could park themselves, but that since those features aren't yet legal, drivers could only do that on private property.
Which brings up the regulation issue. Would autopilot, even limited to highways, be legal?
Tesla thinks so. But Mike Wall, an auto analyst at IHS, says that's still a big question mark for him. What will state governments and insurance companies say? He thinks, in large part because of how slow government moves, that truly autonomous vehicles are still 15 years or so away.
But a lot of this technology, though, is out there, whether it be blind spot detection, lane keep assist, you know, advanced steering activity. So it's really going to come down to how they allow these different technologies to be lit up.
The technology is moving faster than regulations, and Wall says the devil is really in the details with this stuff. So, for example, will Tesla's autopilot require the driver to keep their hands on the wheel or something else to make sure the driver stays engaged?
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, thank you. Now, as you may have noticed, Starbucks is just about everywhere, and that means CEO Howard Schultz has an unusually ubiquitous platform for campaigning on social issues. The latest is an effort to get customers and employees to discuss issues of race. The coffee company is calling it Race Together, but within seconds of the initiative's launch, there was a backlash that, among other things, questioned Starbucks' motives. Tim Fitzsimmons has more.
The social media backlash was so great that Starbucks VP of Global Communications briefly deleted his Twitter account. Nicole Sanchez is CEO of Via Consulting. They advise on diversity issues. She says it's important for companies to start discussions about race and class.
That doesn't mean that when there's a line of people going out the door and it's 7:30 in the morning and everybody's ready for their coffee and then to get to work, that that's the place and the time to do it.
She says it would be better to follow the lead of Pandora, the streaming music company. They coach their staff on diversity to better prepare for conversations that might arise in work or at home. Starbucks baristas didn't get training like that. Robert Rabin is president of the Rabin Group, a public advocacy and consulting firm. He says Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz's efforts might have more of a lasting impact than we realize because the coffee shops are so physically ubiquitous and integrated.
And it's a place where people go and mingle. Whether or not they talk to each other is a different issue.
But maybe after you've had your morning coffee. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
Job market gets stronger, employers starting to report labor shortages, especially of skilled workers like welders, machinists, carpenters. Those jobs pay a good wage to start, often with health insurance, a pension, on-the-job training. But while plenty of women need jobs that pay that well, fewer women are getting jobs in these trades, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
For three decades, Lauren Sugarman has been trying to get more women into well-paying construction jobs. She runs the National Center for Women's Employment Equity.
The construction trades represent a significant segment of the blue-collar jobs that earn over $20 an hour.
But, she says, women still only make up 2.6% of the construction workforce. A journeyman carpenter or electrician might make $40 an hour. Sugarman says many female-dominated jobs, nurse's aide, preschool teacher, pay $15 or less, adding up to $1 million or more in missed earnings over a lifetime. I'm up on the roof of an office workshop being built in Portland, Oregon. Holly Huntley's small construction firm has the job.
I'm 37 now. After college, I just kind of kept practicing on friends and family's properties.
Huntley had been a debutante. By her mid-20s, she was working construction. But she wanted her own business to give other women a chance at these well-paid physical jobs. But it's still a struggle.
And what I get myself and all my female employees get is, where's the contractor? You know, they all think that we're the homeowner. They don't even think that we're working.
At a community college in Portland, Sarah Duber has been learning welding. She's taught English and dealt cards. None of those jobs paid as much as welding.
I've always been attracted to things that are hot and fire. I might be a little bit of a pyro.
For her program, Duber interviewed working women welders.
Just talking about how hard it was for them to get a job. And lots of them were told, you're going to be a sexual distraction, or maybe you can't pick up a box that's 40 pounds. I'm sure that that's something that I'm going to run into.
Sarah Duber encourages other women to try out blue-collar work. Holly Huntley teaches in a pre-apprenticeship program. Lauren Sugarman works with unions and employers to fight discrimination and boost women in the trades. They're all trying to move the dial just a bit. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And this morning we've been tracking a sudden surge in crude oil prices as measured on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Oil West Texas Intermediate surged 4% by about mid-morning. This ahead of a key closely watched report from Baker Hughes on the number of oil rigs that are producing. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.